Alamedes Diaz has just left the yard for the Houston Astros. 4-4, Houston and Oakland. I want to say there's 6 home runs in this game. Terry, what's happening at Dodger Stadium? It's become the new launching pad. It's like watching the Braves on TBS back at old Fulton County Stadium back in the days. Glass in the afternoon happy hour. See, that guy tries to bunt and he gets out. No one bunts anymore. What are you doing? You're nuts. Even though the guy's playing.
That's still part of the game.
Oh, the guy's playing 40 feet behind third base. He tries to bunt, and the A's third baseman came in and made a nice diving play. That's Dave Novak. I'm Mike Glasscott. It is happy hour. It's 85 degrees. There's NBA basketball in October. All kinds of weird stuff is going on. And I have some good news. I don't know if you saw the news today. I don't know what you've been up to today. But the Maui Gym Classic in Asheville, the times and dates have been announced. So we've got that ball.
I did not see the draw. I knew where it was happening.
That's it. Indiana will be in the top half of the bracket away from North Carolina. Why? They want them to meet in the finals. That's probably pretty smart.
Nice for TV.
That would be great for television. So Indiana will take on Providence. They will play game number 2, 2:30 in the afternoon on November 30th. And then obviously, depending on the winner's bracket or loser's bracket, the Hoosiers will advance. If they continue to win, they would play 1:30. On December 1st, the championship game will be 4 o'clock on December 2nd. So get out your compass and your protractor there. Do you know what days the 30th, 1st, and 2nd are off the top of your head? I do not.
I do not.
So I am going to the bottom right-hand corner of any computer, as we always do, and see.
Monday.
That would be a
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That would be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That usually headed up into Thanksgiving, didn't it?
Well, it usually ended the Thanksgiving Eve.
Wednesday, yeah.
That Wednesday night was the big game. Everybody would stay up late to watch that, and then you'd go and hold it together for Thanksgiving the next day after that was over. Now it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday deal. Okay, that's a little bit different, but there you go. Indiana will play Providence. They will play the winner of Texas Davidson or the loser of Texas Davidson, depending on how their match with the Friars from the Big East go. The bottom half of the bracket, North Carolina, UNLV, and Stanford, Alabama. So North Carolina getting the home game here at the Harris Cherokee Center in lovely Asheville, North Carolina. Why is that news? If they're putting dates and times out for basketball, that starts in the football season, I'm going to go out on a limb and saying we should be hearing something this weekend for Big Ten football scheduling purposes. Joe was joking about it on his reports. Hey, what's 2 more days? We've waited this long.
Yeah.
What's another day or two? Well, it would just be nice to get it all figured out. So there you go. That is the Asheville Maui Gym Classic. It all happened. It's better than not playing and having the season canceled.
Yes.
And we're seeing that in high school football. We had Bloomington North miss a game against New Albany because they had some COVID issues. This week we've learned it's Bloomington South's turn.
Yep.
Nobody wants a turn in this, but it's harder and harder to keep perhaps kids of that age on a large gathering group. Yeah. All the things we don't want to do, but no South football for this immediate week. We do not have any update to it. Joe has been in all afternoon. If there was any update, we would have heard it by now and passed it along to you. It's not something we're going to sit on. We want everybody to know about this. You saw Columbus North and South play last week, and you get the Columbus North doubleheader.
Yep.
As the Maroon and Gold head to Columbus this week. You're on the roof. The weather's perfect, 81 degrees, and North has some things to work out after a difficult second half performance we talked about a little bit on Monday. Ron Colley's good.
Yeah.
That's what it is. We get it. North played a really good half of football, it seemed like, on the road, up there, weird circumstances, less practice. Did they run out of gas? Did Ron Colley turn on the afterburners? It was a difficult second half. We know that.
Yeah, I mean, Ron Colley is the best team they've played on their schedule, first of all. We got to put that out there. The second half of that is that you're seeing portions of games where the Cougars are just not finishing. I mean, you can say that about the entire second half against Greenwood. They were able to move the ball almost at will in the first half and then only had 6 plays in the second half. So just could not move it at all, and Greenwood just held on to it. Against South, they did what you would expect them to need to do, which is take a whole bunch of time off the clock late, get a 2-touchdown lead with 5 minutes left, And then everything kind of worked out right for South. But that's certainly a game North could have, and you could argue should have put away. So there's two right there. And so in this half, in this case, you see a bad half of football in the second half, really second quarter too, but second half in particular, they were still in it at halftime. So it's just not, it's not 48 minutes of complete football yet for the Cougars. And, you know, I'm still.
Did you
the
feel
mindset.
They were on their way to that 48 minutes before the COVID hit, and you got nine? But that I don't know if it's. I don't want to say it's an excuse, but when you lose practice time at a key part of the season, when you're in that stretch run, that's hard to reset everything and get going. I would think
that New Albany game would have been interesting to see, to put two teams that maybe were pretty evenly matched. Like, they outmatched BNL completely. They really, I mean, at the time at least, Terre Haute South wasn't competitive. You know, Terre Haute North, that's a nice game. It's hard to figure out what Terre Haute North is. You know, they were getting smeared, and then all of a sudden they can beat Southport and almost beat North. It's just, I don't know what's going on there. But
it's COVID 2020 is what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, the bringing New Albany to town might have been a little closer to two teams that were on the same plane. You know, two teams that do a lot of things right, and then occasionally don't do everything right. You know, that's hard. That's why the really good teams are the really good teams, and the, you know, the ones in the middle are 3-3. I think this team can be very good, and I think it still has to be led by its offense. Its defense is something they pride themselves on there as an identity, but really the offense is where the majority of the playmakers are. You know, the majority of the veterans are. You'd like to get Baylen Murphy this week. I haven't heard
about. Oh, I was going to ask you about him if he's going to.
Don't know yet on that one. But you've got a bunch of options there on that team. I mean, Aristotle Vasquez is his backup and doesn't play a lot at wide receiver, but he got a touchdown on the trick play last week. So I mean, they've got a lot of guys that can make plays. Cody Mikulich, you certainly want to see him run the
100
ball.
Carries, 851 yards.
Yeah.
I just saw that on Jim Gordillo's timeline.
Eight and a half a carry. I mean,
Think about that.
Because that's ridiculous.
They've missed a game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
that's not as fair.
I mean, the good news here is you come back to the conference, teams you know, guys you know, that sort of thing. I think what I saw out of Columbus North was I saw a really solid football team with some big play capability, but you know, they do the every down stuff really well also. There's a couple holds in that game a few times, but other than that, that team really played everything solid and then flashed some ability to hit you long. And that's been a bugaboo for the Cougars defense for the last several years now, is a big play. So I mean, if they can eliminate that, which I think they started to do a little bit this year outside of the Roncalli game, then they keep themselves in it. But the offense has got to lead the way, in my opinion.
And we talked about it on Monday about how South was missing essentially four defensive linemen, their top four choices at defensive line. Was Columbus North a team that pushed around a young unit? Will they be able to have that same success with Bloomington North, you think? You talked about North having the offense being the key. Yeah. Where does their defense fall into this matchup?
Well, I mean, start with what they're facing, and that's Columbus North. I mean, Columbus North, before the South game at least, was averaging 6.5 yards a carry as a team.
So you're blocking.
And basically only three guys run the ball, and that's the two tailbacks and the quarterback. And they're all over 6.5 yards a carry to get to that 6.5 yards a carry.
You can't fake averages, Dave.
No, you really can't. And that's a really a substantial one when you're talking about how you run the ball. I think they are a good offensive line. I think they are a team that spreads you out and makes you guard the whole field. And they're a team that's got you know, good runners in the middle of the field. So I think that's a really solid offense. If you look at Columbus North, I don't think they've scored under 27 points this year. So, I mean, they fall off the bus scoring points. So you're going to have to you're going to have to match them first and foremost.
Yeah, and I think that's where that makes sense, because I don't think North will feel uncomfortable in a game that needs a lot of points.
They've got to keep it up. I mean, that's the thing, is when you talk about not finishing,
you're not asking them to get out of a comfort zone to score points.
I mean,
right?
If I say this team doesn't finish, that means there's a drive or two or three that aren't what you want them to be, you know, and in a bigger sense than just we had to punt, you know, that kind of thing. So that's where you've got to play really sound football, that you cannot turn the ball over or you're just giving them free possessions. Columbus North really doesn't turn it over much. So you talk about the Cougars defense. You know, the Cougars defense, you hold them under four touchdowns, you give your team a chance to win this. And that sounds like a lot. But that's what Columbus North does. They do put up points. So, I mean,
bend don't break style.
Yeah, you're going to have to make them work for it a little bit. Don't give them the easy stuff. Never give them the easy stuff. You always say that. Never give them the easy stuff.
Well, and we've seen across all the teams in our county, when you give up turnovers, when you give up short fields, we haven't seen a lot of hold them to field goals. Mm-hmm. They've really paid the price for it. So does North's defense take it away enough? Do they aggravate the quarterback enough? Are they healthy enough? Yeah. We know they had linebacker problems with the poor May kid having his leg, that deal. Have they replaced him? Is that next step ready to be taken by the defense yet?
Well, I think that's a really unfortunate injury because they had moved him into the middle because of an injury. He played really well, did Isaac May, then got hurt against South at the end of the game. You know, that's – Candelaria can fit back in there because he's played that position forever. But it is a little bit different defense this year. It's certainly a much younger defense this year. That's really, I think, the biggest difference is, you know, you had some major playmakers as seniors last year on that team. I mean, Caleb McCoy is one of the best linebackers I've seen around here in years. You know, Charlie Bless was great. Noah Ponce was great for that team. They don't have those guys that I've seen putting pressure in the backfield just yet. You know, will they show it? I don't know. They're going up against another big physical running team, kind of like what they saw in Greenwood. So they're going to have to find a way to pop that ball out at some point, or at least
difficult part of that is then if you do blitz like you did late against South, then you have that scales of balance. Are you going to get hit with the big play? But if you're trying to create something happening, we know this North team will take some of those chances. You saw it with North and South.
Yeah, no question. And I think they will have to resort to some pressure up front. They like that sort of thing. The 3-3 defense allows you to throw guys in from a lot of different places at the backfield. And so it's a matter of, obviously, eliminating the big risk as much as you can. Because, you know, when you blitz and get aggressive, you're going to have something hit against you. You just got to limit it, tackle it, and make it a 12-yard gain instead of a 40-yard gain. I mean, that's what matters.
And you have to eliminate penalties and silly things like that, especially when you go on the road. That's never easy. The coaching matchup is interesting. It's the old Thanksgiving dinner table. Who gets to buy dinner after this one or whatever is on the line. Avon, Columbus North, Bloomington North, the Bless family, the footprint is large. We know the regular season – you play for a conference championship, and right now it looks like can Columbus North be stopped from winning it?
It's just weird enough. They got to go to Terre Haute South at the end of the season.
Something
knows?
Stupid enough can happen.
Yeah, I mean, how did Southport lose to Columbus North or to Terre Haute North by 2 touchdowns?
My point was,
I wouldn't think so. I saw what I thought was the best football team that I've seen yet this year, and that's Columbus North. I thought that was the best team that I've seen. So from that standpoint, I'd be surprised if they stumble. But here's the point: North is an aggressive enough defense that they can cause you a problem here and there. And their offense can match scores. It just has to do it. It has to continue to do it. It has to put up some big numbers. It's on the verge of, like, extra explosive, in my opinion. It's just not quite there. You know it's got all the pieces. You know it's got the quarterback.
Light that candle.
It can run the ball well most of the time. So all of those things are in its favor. If it can run the ball against Columbus North, I think it can go toe-to-toe with them scoring points, and it's going to have to. So
the coaching angle I was getting into was, here you are in Week 8. You have Week 9 to play for. You think Columbus North's going to win the league. Do you get into the bag of tricks, or is that stuff you save for down the road? We're not sure if there's going to be a down the road. I'm not saying you want to pull one over on your brother.
Yes, but we saw
that.
Of course you do.
I don't know who's older or younger there, but yeah, I'm with you on that. But last week we saw the halfback pass to Arist. They've already dipped into that bag of tricks. Anything goes this Friday night, I would think. Be on your toes there, analyst.
Guess what? Columbus North now has 3 different guys who can run that play from Bloomington North. Because last year it was Baylen Murphy did it once.
Yeah.
Steinfeld did it once. This was Aiden Steinfeld, the younger guy. So you got 3 guys that can run that play right now, all on film. So look, they obviously know that they still have a chance at the conference in this game. So, you know, everything's on the table.
Make it interesting.
Everything is on the table for this one.
And that'll make it fun, too, to see the brothers butting heads as they do annually. 6:30 Chalk Talk. We'll have everything ready to go. Joe Smith and Scott Bless, and then Dave Novak will join the broadcast at 7 o'clock for kickoff at Max Andrus Field, Columbus North and Bloomington North, Week 8 here on WGCL and WGCLradio.com. We'll let Dave catch his breath. 2 minutes news. Keith Klein has us in tuned on what's happening. And don't forget, tonight, 9 o'clock right here on WGCL and WGCLradio.com, the vice presidential debate is live.
I'm Keith Klein for News Sports Talk 98.7 and AM 1370 WGCL. Hear the vice presidential debate from Salt Lake City tonight at 9. Listen at 98.7 and AM 1370 or online at WGCLradio.com. Two-thirds of Indiana's hotels could close permanently in the coming months if Congress doesn't provide more financial relief for the hospitality industry hard hit by the pandemic. The American Hotel and Lodging Association estimates that nearly 700 of Indiana's 1,042 hotels will close permanently within the next 6 months if they don't obtain additional funding. Hotels and related businesses have laid off or furloughed thousands of workers since March. Indiana had about 25,000 hotel workers before the pandemic and lost nearly 9,500 through September. Law enforcement officials around the world report cyber criminals have stepped up their game since COVID-19, taking advantage of so many people working or learning from home. According to the FBI, complaints about cyber attacks were up to as many as 4,000 a day earlier in the year. That's a 400% increase from what they were seeing before the pandemic. All IU faculty, staff, and students whose work or class schedule requires a regular presence on the campus are required to get a flu vaccine during the 2020 semester. Appointments to receive the vaccine at a campus clinic are available through the Student Health Center's online scheduler. Clinics are at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall, October 9th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., October 10th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and October 17th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Those who choose to get the vaccine somewhere other than the IU locations need to fill out the flu vaccine reporting form to let IU know you have received a vaccination. If the staff, faculty, or student request an exemption, they must fill out an exemption request form. For comprehensive election night coverage, tune to WGCL November 3rd at 7. For News Sports Talk 98.7 and AM 1370 WGCL, I'm Keith Klein.
538 at WGCL, one of these marathon innings in baseball. Marcus Semien homered to center. That's the fourth Oakland A's home run. They led 4-2. It is now 7-4 Houston. The Astros have exploded for five runs here in the bottom of the fifth inning as we had a Emeritius Diaz home run and doubles, singles, everything. The only surprising thing is there's only been one home run for Houston in their five runs, and it was a solo shot. 7-5 Houston leading Oakland. Game three, Houston looking to take a 3-0 series lead. The Braves took a 2-0 series lead, beating Miami 2-0. Earlier today, Yankees-Tampa are tied at 1 there at 7 o'clock, and Dodgers looking to go 2 up on the Padres with Clayton Kershaw 9 o'clock. Tonight, you see if there's a hurricane activity in the Gulf of Mexico, that rain could be up here this weekend. College games have already been canceled. LSU is going to go play at Missouri instead of being in Baton Rouge.
Smart.
And the other one is Monday Night Football could move from New Orleans to Indianapolis. Monday's night game between the Saints and Chargers would be relocated to Lucas Oil Stadium if needed because of Hurricane Delta, the source has told ESPN. So we're in the middle of it. We'll have NFL football for you. We'll talk NFL football after we wrap up the high school beat. And, Dave, we'll finish up with the Edgewood Mustangs here quickly. They just have not found any sustained success this season. They've struggled to score points. They've struggled to get off to good starts. What is it going to take? We thought it was simpler. Playbook might help turn it around when you guys were over there in week six. Haven't seen the fruits of that labor yet. You just got to keep digging in the dirt till you find it.
Yeah, and they stopped talking about what they need out of their seniors. I don't know. I still say there's a football team in there that can go and win the sectional. But it's got to get it together awfully quickly here because you're running out of time, and this isn't a bad week to try to collect it because Northview's coming to town. Northview's always a good team. They're a good team again this year. So it's a tough, at least it's a home date, but it's a tough home date at this point. They played a little bit better in the second half last week against Sullivan, but they've been digging themselves holes. And sometimes it's that simple. I'm not sure it really is just that simple.
There's more going on,
but that is what's happening. Is you're seeing a lot, big deficits early in the game, and once that happens, you're pressing. And once you're pressing, you don't do things right. You don't do the things you're supposed to. You don't follow your responsibilities. It's running out of time to get it together. Maybe next week is the week they get it together. It's Brown County. It's a rivalry game. That's a better matchup for them certainly than Northview is right now. It would not have surprised me if they had won any of these three games, the Indian Creek, Sullivan, or Northview, just because I thought they had something in there they hadn't tapped yet. But as time goes on, you know, it's harder and harder to believe that's really in there if they're not tapping it. I think they need to, I've said this before, to me, they need to concentrate on the running game as much as they possibly can. I understand everybody wants to be balanced, but I think that running game is really what's going to make it go, because you've got three excellent runners in that backfield and you need to take advantage of it.
And running the football keeps your defense off the field. Hopefully yep. you can stretch some drives out, and then you can finish the drives out instead of finishing the drives with turnovers in the wrong part of the field. We've seen the Mustangs capitulate to that a few times this season. Edgewood, Northview, that will be their matchup on Friday night. Our matchup, North and Columbus North. Dave and Joe head to Columbus on Friday after 81. Just perfect. You're welcome.
Yeah.
6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock. Kickoff in Conference Indiana activity. The Colts are on our airwaves coming up on Sunday. Before we get to that, briefly, IU football, no news is exactly what it is. We're meeting with we're hearing position coaches every day on Zoom giving you the updates. What are you doing? Well, you just got in pads on Saturday. Today is Wednesday. I'm not sure what kind of revelations are coming. Today's big angle was Mike Hart was on. Charlie Spiegel's getting some carries and doing some good stuff. But Mike Hart also called this the deepest running back room he's had since he's been here.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Guys play 4 years, sometimes five. You don't have to start as a freshman, do all that. Great. We haven't heard the schedule release yet. That's what everybody wants to know. Mm-hmm. What time are we playing? What days are we playing? Is it Friday? We don't know. Well, when we do know, we'll let
everybody
you know.
Else will know. Yeah.
We're not keeping it a secret. We are not hiding it underneath the rug or anywhere else. The Colts are another 425er this afternoon, Sunday afternoon. They will take on the Browns. Hey, look, Baker Mayfield, 3-1.
Yeah.
They ran all over Dallas without Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. The last three games are averaging 39 points a game.
Yeah, Miles Garrett's turning into one of the best defenders out there like you thought he would. And, I mean, that's a decent football team. Remember, a lot of people thought they could get to the Super Bowl last year.
And the year before that, interestingly.
So, yeah, I mean, we all knew they were reaching a little bit. But, you know, eventually that has to come true. And Baker Mayfield, you know, has to start making those plays that everybody expected him to be, a bit of a gunslinger, but it's the biggest test on both sides of the ball for the Colts so far.
And
so
the other thing interesting about Baker Mayfield is how much easier is his job when you run for 300 yards.
Yeah,
my
absolutely.
Goodness. And that's what Odell Beckham on a 50-yard reverse. They had, again, Kareem Hunt. Remember him from Kansas City? Put up some serious numbers. So this is not a 3-1 Browns team that is not going to just run over the AFC North, but they are 3-1. They did win at Dallas when Dallas is playing essentially a must-win game because the Cowboys stink.
Yeah, jumped all over them.
And early and held on. Well, that's, Dallas has that the disease where they think, well, we'll just score a lot at the end and come back and win. But the Colts will head to Cleveland on Sunday. Our pregame will start at 3:25. The injury report always starts on Wednesday. Why? Well, everybody needs to get out of bed on Monday, then stretch out on Tuesday, and we'll see what's happening. But bad news for Colts fans, perhaps. No Anthony Costanzo, Darius Leonard, or Bobby Okereke. No practice today. We knew that. Trey Burton did not practice as well, but his injury is classified as rest.
Yeah.
That's not super surprising because he just came off the injured list. We saw that with the safety from Utah.
Blackmon.
Right. He was DNP early in the week, the first couple weeks, as his knee was getting back into it. Limited practice for TJ Carey. That helps. And EJ Speed is also limited as well. What was wrong with EJ Speed, did you tell me? It says here an elbow, but I don't remember seeing.
No, Okereke had his wrist.
Thumb, right.
His thumb operating.
EJ Speed's got an elbow deal. All right, so there you go. So that's – but the greater point is it's three linebackers.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, the Colts are only playing two. They're in that 4 or 5.
A good portion of the time.
Playing extra. He loves to play the extra safeties, as we've heard time and time again. It's not anything to get completely worried about on Wednesday. I think if you're, for Leonard's sake, you're happy it's a muscle. Those tend to heal a little bit easier. Costanzo. That's the second interesting part. This is the last time I'll see you this week. That Colts offensive line started all 16 games last year and the four to start this year. It's the longest streak in the NFL. How important is that consistency and congruence? Because their backups aren't playing.
Yeah.
They haven't got any reps.
Well, it's great to have. I mean, there's a reason that it's, what is it, 20, 24 games, something like that in a row?
20 straight,
And that's the current streak holder. I mean, that tells you something about the inability to keep a group together. So the fact that you had it is kind of is unusual. It's very unusual. You know, you can go a game or two, I think, with the backup there, and you can certainly survive. That's a tough position to have to do that at, but it can happen. You can certainly do it. I don't know that it's going to actually come to that. You know, Costanzo missed four plays with the rib injury. I have very little doubt that they're making sure and just taking it easy. There's no reason to stick him back out there right now. but by Sunday, it might be pretty easy for him to go. Leonard is the one that I think, you know, you might see a little bit of time.
Costanzo, is rib better than ribs? Or do they just classify?
Well, I hope it's one rib.
Well, because it's all cloak and dagger anyhow. Yeah. Now, if he's got three broken ribs and has to put, you know, most offensive linemen aren't putting on extra padding for anything.
You're not going to hear about it one way or another.
No, you shouldn't.
What exactly
either playing or you're not playing.
The worrisome one to me is Darius Leonard because it's a groin. And you know, at linebacker, there's so much side-to-side lateral movement necessary and quick.
And he doesn't take plays off either.
And he doesn't take plays.
He never comes off the field.
He's a three-down linebacker. He's out there constantly. So I think they have guys that can step in. I think, Okereke certainly would, if not for the thumb. We'll see what that does to him.
Hard to tackle one-handed, isn't it?
It is.
At that level.
You can. But it's less than ideal.
Put the old club on there.
Yeah, it's less than ideal. There's no question. So that might be a week or two type thing anyways. But the groin's a tough one because all you can do there is rest it. All you can do there really is rest it.
Or re-injure it.
Yeah, and since you're going laterally so often and you got guys around your legs a lot of the time, it's one of those dicey ones to me. So I would be a little surprised if Darius Leonard does not miss some time. Costanzo, I kind of doubt. I doubt with a rib injury. And I'm not poo-pooing that he's injured. I'm just saying I that doesn't seem to me for an offensive tackle to be something that would keep him out for a long time.
If Anthony Costanzo's not 24 years of age either, that's the other thing we have to remember. Yeah. Let him get his rest. Let him get the bigger
fish
to fry. I think that's the larger point. This unit is
played. Not every rep.
This unit has played so many reps together. They're not learning. You've seen enough with Rivers where it's not like, oh, they need to work on this.
Oh, it's better at this
that.
Point to give LaRaven Clark the week and
just
see
in
if
case.
Costanzo can practice on on Friday and then play on Sunday because that way Clark has got all the reps and he knows exactly what he's doing going into the thing in case he's needed.
EJ Speed's in a red jersey, so that means he's going,
yeah.
But limited, don't get involved with contact and anything else that happens there. The Colts will take on Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland's offense is their weapon. The Colts' defense, strangely enough, that I don't think a lot of us said a month ago was going to be their main weapon. We thought they had questions in the secondary. A lot of new faces with Rhodes and Curry mm-hmm. and Blackman. Kenny Moore was it. That was basically the only...
Yeah, Yassine, who's coming off a rookie year. Where he got torched pretty good.
And Malik Hooker was mm-hmm. back in his year of... Well, Malik's gone.
Malik who?
You can't even... Yeah, exactly right.
So Justin Blackman has rendered Malik Hooker a free agent.
Yes.
I mean, that's through two games for the kid. You hate to do it, but he's playing phenomenally back there.
That's how it's happened. But we thought with... Jack Doyle's back, mm-hmm. and you add Trey Burton and T.Y.'s healthy, Marlon Mack, and you get Jonathan Stewart. The line played all 16 games last year. Well, funny things happen when you tee it up and kick it.
And you get injured.
Oh, absolutely right.
I mean, again, I'll go back to this because I'd like to be fair about these sorts of things. Everything was talked about how Jacoby Brissett didn't do a good job in the second half of last season. He was injured at the middle of the season, and he lost most of his playmakers during the course of the season. He had pretty much Marlon Mack, and that was it. T.Y. Hilton was out there injured all year long. It was great that he was trying to play, but he wasn't effective. He didn't have several other weapons. Again, the guy that they signed to be their number two receiver and a unique guy that could be the jump ball guy in situations and for first downs, he played a half. Of last year, not half of last year,
half
a
of
half
the first game
of a football game last year.
Well, and he had a veteran kicker that didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
I mean, there was a lot that wasn't going right for that offense. That this year, you're seeing more depth in the playmaker position, but you still lost several of them already.
And I think the greater point is offense is sexier. Offense is fantasy football. Yeah. Offense is easy to understand because you watch the ball. DeForest Buckner is making a huge difference on the defensive line. Huge. Yeah. Well, how do you quantify it? Does it matter how many hurries he has? Does it matter how many pressures he's have? No. It matters he gets double teamed and causes opportunities for other players.
Yes.
And that's what sometimes a casual fan misses. So Ballard putting the eggs in that basket to free up all these linebackers and safeties behind him.
Yep.
That's the true measure of what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be interesting to see a team like Cleveland, who runs the ball all over the shop, how they block differently when you have Dallas doesn't have terrible players. They've got big guys and everything else. They ran for 300 yards.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the National Football League. And sure, you get a gimmick run with Beckham for 50. Okay, they had 250.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Well, looking at this defense, you questioned them the other day, and it's legit, I think. I mean, the numbers are good, really good so far, but it's against mediocre offenses at best. The question is just how good is this defense? And when I look up and down this defense, I think you can be certainly a little healthier at the cornerback position. When Leonard's playing, I don't think the linebacker position, when it's healthy, gets much better, frankly, in the NFL than what they've got. Okereke's young, but I think this guy's got star written on him. Maybe not Darius Leonard level, but certainly up there. And then Anthony Walker's just as solid as
Plugger.
He gets.
Just does his job.
I look up front and I see DeForest Buckner, and I see a game wrecker, and I see all the other three positions up there as positions you could upgrade. Now, they're not going to be able to do that during the course of the season, but those are all three positions where you could get a lot more out of them, you know, through a draft, through a trade, whatever you want to do. So if you want to talk about, is this elite defense? I think for it to be an elite defense, you'd be talking about one or two more defensive linemen being anywhere near the level of DeForest Buckner.
Here's the good news. Zach Kiefer reported today from practice. Kamoko Touré is working off to the side. Can return to practice in 2 weeks. Well, Dave, that's one of those players who really...
That'd be big.
Well, because he's already here. He's already in the system, and he's under contract.
And he was showing some flashes last year as very good pass rusher.
That's why it's exciting.
Yeah.
Hard to block. He's from Rutgers. He's only in his second or third year, third or fourth year.
I think it's third, this would be.
But that's the good news, because you can't go out and get $20 million a year Buckner every...
That's right.
Every season.
That's right. I mean, you're not going to. I mean, clearly you can't do that with your salary cap, but so much of it has been built through the draft, and you're starting to see the benefits of that right
now. Tyquan Lewis he's taken from finally what we've seen in camp and put it on the field, and part of the reason he's done that, he's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, you got him. You got Grover Stewart. Those are both draft picks.
Availability.
In the back end, it's Yassine. It's Blackman, it's Willis. Those are all guys that you drafted.
Kari Willis doesn't get any credit. None. He's just sitting back there making all the other plays.
And he's the guy that they played over Clayton Gathers last year. I mean, Clayton Gathers lost his job to Kari Willis.
And we've moved on.
Yeah, I mean, so they've done really well through the draft and kind of in the sneaky zone in that third, fourth, fifth round a little bit, and brought in some players. And Justin Blackman flashing already star potential, in my opinion. I mean, the plays that he's making in just breakups, and these are big plays because they are incomplete passes, obviously, but that's big. When you're looking at him getting involved in it, the chances are it's 10 to 15 yards down the field. So if he has to get involved in it and it ends up on the ground, that's a big play for your defense right there. And he's made probably four of them, I think, at minimum in the last 2 weeks, where he's come up on a play, read it perfectly, delivered a blow, and separated the ball from the receiver. That's not stuff you saw out of Malik Hooker. Sorry, Malik was more of a kind of sideline to sideline center fielder, could go get the ball. He wasn't making a lot of big physical plays in the middle of the field to break up passes. And those are also dangerous plays to make, that you don't end up kicked out of the game for a bad hit.
Well, or the other point is you get beat on it and somebody gets you over the top because you bite on fakes because you're too aggressive. You have to balance that. So,
but I've been very impressed with Blackman, not to mention the fact that he's just not even a year off of his knee injury.
I mean, imagine when he gets healthy.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy right there. But I think this one's going to be more of a shootout. You got a better offense on the other side. You got a lot of playmakers up and down that offense, a good offensive line. Their defense is pretty good. This will be interesting. Is it a 21-17 game that feels like a shootout because the defenses are so good? Or is this a 38-35? I'm not sure yet.
But you can also are you going to turn it over?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to do this? Remember this. The Browns are scoring all those points. They're -2 in point differential. -2.
Point or turnover?
Points.
Oh, point. Well, they lost the first game 38-6.
Hey.
Yeah.
They all Colts lost their first game, and Gardner Minshew went
19-20.
Well, that's
by far the best team they played too, was Baltimore. So,
and just to put it in perspective, the Colts have a 47-point difference, and their kicker has outscored their last two opponents in the game. Got to convert some of those to touchdowns as well. So we'll see what the injury report dictates later in the week. I won't stick you with the prediction on Wednesday.
Yeah, but one thing I want to point out.
Yeah, good.
We wondered about Philip Rivers. Would he come in as a gunslinger? Would he be all over the place? Would he,
so smart.
How could he do it? after week one, when his two interceptions cost this team the game, they have been a more conservative offense. They've been running the ball more.
46 passes is a lot for anybody.
In one game, exactly right.
How many times did we sit here when Peyton Manning threw 50 passes and said, oh, that was a good idea?
They didn't want to do that, and they realized after the fact. But you haven't heard a thing out of Phillip Rivers saying, I want to you know, be in charge of the offense and do my thing. He has just simply done what they've asked him to do, and they've won three straight games with field goals.
They came here.
That's impressive to talk about the defense being able to win you these games, and you can win them with field goals, which means you can be more conservative and you can take the 3 points and not have to go for seven every time out there and feel good about doing so.
Stick him in a window. You don't have to. He came here to play behind a big offensive line.
Yeah.
He's now lost his top running back. Throw that in there. He was sold a bill of goods on T.Y. Hilton that hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers has been great.
Yeah,
let's start with that and work our way back, because no one's going 16-0 in this league. And if you lose on the road in your division, it happens.
Yeah, that's right.
46 passes is not the right formula. You nailed it.
And again, they learned from it. That's the most important part.
3-game winning streak.
And he's accepted that clearly and wants to win, and that's why he's here.
Grab your suntan lotion on top the box on Friday night. Columbus North, Bloomington North, 6:30 kickoff, 7 o'clock pregame. The debate's at 9 o'clock tonight. That's Dave. I'm Glass. We're out of here.